You got to be tough to go to the jail. You don't know what you're going to encounter moment by moment. And we're so thankful for the hand of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. And Amanda, Jeffrey got a good blessing today. And I want to let you know that. God, he said, Brother Crossway, I'm ready to get out and get in church and stay in church. So what a good news. We're thankful for that. Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, want to go with us to the precious word. Amen. We're going to 1 John, the 4th chapter. And I feel the night. Amen. There's something that we connected with today in the jail. First John, the 3rd chapter. I said the 4th chapter, but it's the 3rd chapter. Verses 20, 21, and 22. The scripture says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. You ever had condemnation? How many of you have ever felt condemnation? You come to church and the devil says, what are you doing worshiping God? Look what you did this week. Look what you didn't do. You know, a lot of times it's not what you did, it's what you didn't do that the devil messes you with. It says, but if your heart condemn you, think about it. God is greater than our heart and knoweth what? God knows all things. 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if we're not condemned, then we have confidence towards God. I want confidence, that faith towards God tonight. And verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I'm thankful today for the glory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My heart, amen, when I do the things of God, my heart cannot be condemned by the enemy because he has no evidence. Are you thankful that we can say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and let's thank the Lord for his spirit. Thank the Lord for his covenant and his covering tonight. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for everything you're doing. What you've done for us, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost today. We love and we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for victory tonight. Amen. You may be seated. My. Amen. It feels good to feel God. Amen. We have felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost all day today. And what a joy it is to watch the Word come alive inside of somebody's life. Nothing like it. Amen. We're thankful that there was a young lady today that had known Brother Guillermo. And Brother Guillermo, I mean, man, she said he is charged up and on fire. Amen. And you know what? We watched the Lord turn the light on for this lady today. And I believe God's going to fill her with the Holy Ghost. All because of your seed you planted, bro. Amen. God is ready to do great things. Now, tonight what we're going to talk about is the value of a good conscience. The value of a good conscience. We can tell you how sorry it is to have a bad conscience, but tonight we're going to talk to you about the value of a good conscience. Now, man was created by God with an inner alarm system. And that alarm system begins to tell the difference between right and wrong. Amen. We're going to get this together. And God gives that to help us, amen, to show us the difference between right and wrong, that alarm system that we call your conscience. And you know as well as myself, your conscience can be altered. Your conscience can be altered to begin to not receive those signals and impulses when something is right. I'm glad God gives you discernment with a conscience that tells you no. And yes, and your little device that you have in your house called a smoke detector, it could have a battery with it, And how amazing it is whenever mama's cooking or maybe daddy's cooking and the smoke detector goes off and lets you know it's there and it's doing its job. But if you got tired of that beeping noise and you never replaced your battery, it may have a battery in it and it may be a smoke detector that will work. But if it doesn't have the proper power to run it, it's not going to work for you in a time that you need it the most. But I'm thankful that behind the scene, many times when that thing is going off, here at the church one day, I put something in the microwave. And, you know, I don't mess with microwaves that much. I mean, so I put it in there and I thought, well, I'll go back to the office. I got a phone call. And instead of 20 seconds, I put 20 minutes. Well, all of a sudden, it dawned on me, hold it. You need to go check. And when I opened the door to the hall, there was a blue haze about this high. And the time I took a step out, the smoke, the fire detection system went off. And before you know it, I mean, here we have an alarm system. And I ran and I tried to cancel it. It wouldn't cancel. Before you know it, here come the fire department. They come in, and fortunately, I knew who was driving the truck. Fortunately, I knew some of the guys. And they pulled up and they started laughing at me because when they went to the microwave and opened it up, there was my charred lunch that I had. But I'm glad it works. It gave me assurance that and a peace of mind that the system is working. Are you thankful when God begins to speak to your heart? When God says no? Are you thankful for that? That alarm system that is there. And when the alarm sounds, we know something is wrong. That feeling that we call conviction. Conviction demands that we do something about the situation. Now, condemnation is not of God. Condemnation is of the enemy. Condemnation begins to tell you, how can you come to church tonight? You remember what you said about so-and-so? How can you lift your hands and pray? You haven't been praying at home. How can you open your Bible and appear all holy? You haven't been reading it like you should. Nobody's ever had a battle with condemnation before. Condemnation tries to get in between you and God and says, who are you? Condemnation is not of God, it's of the devil. Why are you going to lift your hands tonight? You haven't thought about God all day. That's condemnation. Can I tell you, it is not ordered by God, but I'm thankful to tell you that God does have something to help you call conviction. Conviction is when God turns a light on, and when you feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, the light shows you something. You mean, have you ever eaten out a plate or something like that, or was fixing to grab something, and you got to looking at it, and that dishwasher did not work good. That plate still had grimy stuff on it. Or maybe you went to a restaurant, unfortunately, and you went to look down at your plate, and I mean, that plate wasn't washed. That's happened, folks. I mean, that's nasty. And you seen the light of it, you said, whoa, I'm not eating here, buddy. I'm not eating this stuff. And you looked at the filth and the corruption on a fork you were supposed to eat, and you bring the attention to your waitress and say, look. And that's what conviction does. Conviction exposes something and begins to let you know before it happens. I'm thankful for that alarm system called conviction. Condemnation repels you from God, but conviction compels you. Conviction will draw you to God. There's nothing like conviction. There's nothing like the voice of God in operation in your life. Do you know, amen, that we could have that working in an operation. And most people have learned to hit the snooze button or to unplug it. And they don't want conviction at work in their life. They don't want their conscience to be that alarm system. Amen. They don't want the demands of it at all. I don't want to be reminded of this. But folks, if you're going to eat out of a filthy, dirty thing or be in a filthy atmosphere or an atmosphere that's going to bring conducive evil in your life or evil that's going to come and corrupt you, I'm thankful that God does turn the light on. I'm thankful that God does speak. It's for our good that the Holy Ghost works. Now, A good conscience is one of the most essential weapons to living a victorious Christian life. I'm thankful for that. We feel that inner freedom of the Spirit towards God and others when we know that neither God nor man could point a finger at us and say, "You've offended me, and look what you did." I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. The verse that we read tonight, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart." Are you thankful that God is greater than condemnation? Condemnation makes you feel you can't have anything from God. But I am grateful tonight that our God is bigger than condemnation. My God is greater than condemnation. I want you to think with me tonight. Thank the Lord for that voice inside of your mind many times that says no. Think about this young couple, this mama. You ever had a mama, the voice of a mama that begins to watch that little boy or that little toddler that is headed, playing in the yard, that's headed to the road. That mama, when that child takes the first step, she says no. Second step, no. Third step, no. And she adds his name, the fifth step. Johnny, no. Susie, no. And all of a sudden, the closer that child gets to the mama comes running, and she does a snatch job. All because of the nature of that mother sees the danger. Little Johnny doesn't see the big truck coming down the road, but mama sees it and knows the danger there, and she snatches him up. Are you thankful for the hand of the Almighty God snatching you out of danger? But the way God operates at first is that small, still voice that says, no. You take another step, the Lord says, no. Then the vocal is just a little bit more with authority. No. Then the closer you get to it, the Lord speaks to your name. Robert, no. And we got to learn to listen to that voice. We got to learn to listen to what the Spirit is trying to say to us. You know what's amazing? When you obey the voice of the Spirit of God, when God speaks to you, there is something that begins to happen. You feel the work in the hand of the Almighty God. There's a oneness that is developed between you and the Almighty God because you have learned to listen to the voice of that conscience, that voice of the Almighty God speaking in your brain. Amen. It may be somewhere you don't need to be, and the Lord said, no. I don't need to be here. It could be the voice of God when you're around somebody that you don't need to be around. And the Lord exposes something, and the Lord says, no. Oh, it's just them. And the Lord said, no. I'm thankful for the time that the Lord said no to me many times, where God said no, and he helped me and prevented some things from happening. There's been some times where, amen, I wanted to do this, and the Lord said no. And later to find out that there was something behind the scene. Amen. God had foreknowledge. God is God enough to let you know. And I thank for the grace of God that tells us no at times. But God wants you to learn to listen for that voice. God wants you to have a sensitivity. Don't dare go in and plug the system. Don't dare try to take the battery out. We need that operating in our life every step of the way. What about you start listening to something? Well, it's just a country and western song. And, man, you like the tune of it. But pretty soon, the Lord says, no. Oh, but yeah, it's nothing wrong with it. But the next song that comes along, it's got a little bit more, you know, stuff in it. Pretty soon, he's running around your wife, cheating, drinking. Dancing with somebody else's wife. And pretty soon it just keeps building. But the Lord has told you no. The Lord knows that these things get in your mind. And it may be just a song, but that song has a message. That song has an ideology that it doesn't equate what God has. Amen. God wants you to learn that when he says no, to listen and realize there's a purpose for it. God just don't say no to somebody just to control you. It's for your well-being. The value of a good conscience. Learning to listen and hear the voice of God. Amen. God grants our conscience to be clear first inside of us, that we begin to learn, we begin to grow. And let me say this, it's essential that we recognize, and when we begin to go the wrong direction, to confess wrong actions that maybe we have done, even against God and against somebody else. We've got to discern what wrong attitudes that we project that will cause other people and even God to be offended. And when you learn this, and you learn that your conscience is a good thing inside of you to follow, and it would match with the Word of God, how wonderful it is. But the danger part is whenever you don't listen. Somebody says, I don't feel anything. I don't feel convicted. You know, if God says it in His Word, and He says it's evil, you don't have to be convicted. His Word is enough. But there's some people begin to make such great deals of pettiness that say, well, I don't feel convicted of this. It's okay for me to dance with another woman's wife. It's okay for me to do this and do that. Well, the Bible don't say I can't dance with another man's wife. Well, I hope it's your mother you're dancing with. That's your father's wife, right? But hear me. The Word of God really matters. Amen. If the Lord says it or even leans against it, have sense enough to say yes to the Almighty God in your life. You know what God's wanting you to do? God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow spiritually strong enough to resist the devil and not to give a devil an inch in your life. Neither give place to the enemy. Amen. We're thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Paul said in Acts the 24th chapter, Acts 24, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. In other words, Paul said, you need to exercise, you need to practice and live it, that your conscience is well alive, alerting you, helping you, benefiting you, and is instrumental to you. And how wonderful it is when God begins to work on us in ways that we don't even know. How great it is when the Lord begins to help you by speaking to you and working on you. Now, we want to go to Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 through 14. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. The scripture says, for everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. You know, God is obviously don't want you to be a big baby, an old baby. He said, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ, but God don't want you to stay a baby. Next verse. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Good, strong meat of the Word of God will grow you and make you mature. God wants you to mature, that you have the ability to recognize, to discern between good and evil. Let me just talk to us tonight. Amen. The enemy loves to disguise himself. Amen. And robe himself in deception and fool with your brain and fool you with temptation that you feel everything is okay. Hear me tonight. The devil does good masquerading. He does the good mocking and bringing in things that look so good. When I use the word mocking, I'm talking about imitating the real. I've seen people with demonic spirits speak in tongues, folks. I've had them jabber in some kind of language. It wasn't the Holy Ghost, believe me. Because whenever I began to pray against that spirit began to cry. And it began to say, don't kiss me. Don't kiss me. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming out. You're coming out right now, and you're not going to fight. You're going to make loud noises. You're going straight to the pit of hell. And that little spirit said, no. And that's all I heard. And that person lifted their hands, tears rolling down their face, and said, Jesus, please forgive. I want to thank God tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful for the victory that God has? God don't want you to be a baby. God wants you to be a strong person for Him. God wants you to grow your faith and exercise your conscience that you have the ability to discern between the enemy and God. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for victory tonight in the Holy Ghost? That God will grow you and help you to become strong for Him. Praise God. He's looking for us to grow in maturity. Amen. Our conscience becomes void of offense. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. So a good conscience is a powerful weapon in warring against Satan. It is also an effective tool in helping you to live for God and be a good witness. Got to give you that today. And the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. 1 Peter, scripture talks here. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And it says, having a good conscience. Everybody say a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that what? Falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. When you've got a good conscience, when the enemy starts pointing his finger at you and said, look what you did. Look what you didn't do. And somebody else says, you hear about her? I'm thankful for a good conscience that you can, amen, there's something about it that you can make them ashamed. I want to shame the enemy. I want to turn the devil's tools on him. I want victory. I want to be an overcomer. The most victorious weapon that you could have as a saint of God is to have a good conscience. Amen. You ought to thank the Lord tonight for the blood of Jesus. Amen. You ought to thank the Lord for the grace of Jesus. You ought to thank the Lord for the power of Jesus. Amen. Satan is thrilled when a Christian has defiled his conscience. Not only do we become a stumbling block to the salvation of others, but our enemy torments us with everything, all the unconfessed sins. And eventually, here we are. We feel defeated. We feel just beaten up. But this Bible says in Proverbs 28, it says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, not just confess them, everybody say forsake. God wants you to be powerful enough to forsake your sin. Confess them and forsake them, thou shalt have mercy. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but the person that confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. I don't want constant condemnation to live in my life. But I want the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the greater power that when condemnation comes against me, that there is a victory inside of my soul through my conscience. Hear me, saying of God, tonight. I'm thankful for the clean power of the Holy Ghost that still works inside of a heart and a life when you turn over to God. When you keep His commands, you grow. That conscience begin to work inside of you. Conviction will operate inside of you. Conviction will make a greater man. Think with me. You remember a while ago we used the illustration of that little mama? Little Johnny is straying in the wrong direction. Think with me. Mama starts off softly saying, Johnny. He steps more, Johnny. The emphasis of the tone gets a little bit grander and more it gets, Johnny.
A little bit more. No!
And pretty soon she has to run after him. You know what a mature person, when you learn, even the Lord tells you, no. Your hand goes to that object? No. Maybe you take your phone and you go to a certain thing or your tablet to a certain thing and the Lord tells you, no. Oh, it ain't going to hurt me. It's just a sight. I'm mature enough to handle this. And all of a sudden, you go a little bit further. The Lord says, no. And a little bit more, no. And the Lord speaks a little bit with more emphasis, no. You know what a maturing saint of God don't have to tell you two times. I want that ability in us tonight that we learn to hear the voice of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Must God have to ring your bell hard? Must God have to send somebody to step on your toes? Or will you learn that simple, quiet voice of no? Man, no's a compliment. No's a great compliment. When the Lord tells you no. You turn down a certain way of life, and you know it's a wrong turn. The Lord tells you no. Oh, I can handle it. The Lord says, no. You don't realize the bridge is out. And God's saying no. And God's got the barricades up, the flashing lights, and you think, I could drive through them. No. The man of God's there with the flags, and stop, don't go any further. Oh, that's just Brother Crosswell. That's just a preacher. You know, he's got to do his job. He's got to do something. No! Bridge is out. You have ignored every sign. You know, ignored every voice of God, everything of God. You ignored the man of God when God has moved on him to say no to you and to stop you. You go right over the bridge. And the consequences of disobeying the voice of God takes you. I'm thankful for the voice of God. How many times God has stopped you in your tracks? Are you thankful that you didn't know what was going to happen across that little barricade, but God stopped you just in time? Amen. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for the word tonight that helps us. Amen. Hallelujah. The power of the Almighty God that prevents you sometimes. Amen. From taking that step. Amen. Oh, look where you would have been had it not been for the hand of the Almighty God. I believe tonight we need to thank God again for His mercy, His grace, and His power. Amen. Would you lift both of your hands and thank the Lord for truth? Thank the Lord for His grace. Thank the Lord for His voice. Thank the Lord for those no's. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you tonight, Jesus. The value of a good conscience. A good conscience is a conscience that is sharpened. That you train yourself. That God's gentle pull at your heart. God don't have to slam you. God just says, no. No. I love what Sister Crosswhite pointed out to a song. When God says no, even to your prayers, there's a greater yes. Don't ever feel that God's depriving you. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to feel deprived. The devil wants you to feel like, God's holding something from you. No. That's just what the devil does. He likes to confuse. He loves to twist. And he loves to deceive. But I'm thankful tonight for the glory of the Lord. Amen. That God's hand is there to help us. When God says no, there's a greater yes. There's a greater privilege. I've told this story sometimes back when I was in college, and we've got a mature audience here. Some of our kids, they need to hear it again. But I was a young man, and I worked at a hotel. And back in the Stone Ages, when I went to college, I was the bell captain for Marriott Hotel at the Astrodome. Astrodome, the hotel there, was an exclusive hotel for whoever performed. So a lot of the people there were, if I would call some of their names, they were
football players, baseball players, basketball players, performers, singers, famous people, business people. They came and stayed there. And I was a young 19-year-old boy going to college. And back in those days, they had a device that is pretty ancient today called a pager. How many of you have never seen a pager? Let me see your hand. Yeah, look, look, hold your hand up. I want everybody to see this. We're living a new age. A pager kind of looked like a phone. Of course, back in those days, they were real thick, about this thick and about wide as my phone. And they had a clip that you put on your belt. And what would happen, that's before the cell phones. That's back when Sister Kara was a little girl. Yeah. And that pager, man, I got a new model. Mine was digital. So the old ones, whenever it would ring, I mean, it would beep, 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 beep. And you had to call your office and find out what they wanted. Well, we advanced. Man, I was in new technology back in those days. Ours had a little digital screen. And the office could, on the phone, they could type your little letter saying, call the office or call whoever. You only could put so many letters there, but we would abbreviate. It's kind of like texting. But whenever you got a text, it would shake and someone would beep. You could set the tone. They had about three tones, kind of not like my phone. It was either beep, beep, beep or whack, whack, whack or something else, you know. I'm telling you, Stone Age. Anyway, I had this on my hip, and it was a new device that we had. That day at college, in the chapel service, the man of God that preached a message about, in every temptation, God makes a way of escape. And he preached to us that regardless of the temptation, when you feel tempted on every angle, look for the escape route. God will always put an exit. Man, we had a tremendous altar service. Man, and I can remember getting up from that altar, lifting my hands and saying, thank you, Jesus. Well, at work, I met a lot of people. People would come in, and after a while, because they stayed 2 or 3 weeks, some of them a month, in our hotel, you get to know my first name. Our hotel was a little bit more than just when you checked in. I mean, they would like your laundry since you stayed there. If you want your stuff washed and clean, that was part of your stay. You would take your dirty clothes and you put them in a certain little basket, had a tag on them, and we would do it. It was a service that we had. So my job when I came in was to take the laundry and put it in all of these rooms. So when you come in, you had clean clothes, everything was there, and we put a little slip of paper saying, we have taken care of your dirty laundry. It's placed in this certain area. And man, real fancy deal. Well, I would do that in the evening time. This particular day, well, let me just retrace back just a little bit. There had been a young lady that was older than me. If I was 19, she had to be 30, 35. She's an old lady. And she started, every time she would come and she would walk in the building. She would see me. And back in those days, folks, I promise you, I had hair. And I was a lot slimmer. And she always would come there. Hi. And she would call me by my first name. Brent, how you doing? And it became such friendly conversations. And she was a very pretty lady. Very pretty lady. And she would look at me. And pretty soon it became, she would come over there and she'd pat my hand. Man, when she left, the perfume smelled. Man, remember, I was 19. And so it was like, man, she would call my name, and man, something flutter. And it was, I mean, whoo. And things would go through your mind and all this. And to go a little bit further, pretty soon it became more than a pat. She would come over and she hugged me. You can imagine all the different things. And the bells and the whistles in my brain were trying to go off, but I was enjoying the moment too much. The alarm system was going off, but I unplugged the battery just a little bit. Well, this particular day after that wonderful service, a chapel service, I get to work, and I'm doing my job, and I get to her room, and unbeknowing to me, whenever we knock on the door and we address who we are, this is Marriott Hotel bell captain, Brent, and I knock, and I announce before you walk in, and a master key, open the door, walk in, and there she is. And it was, "Hi, Brent. I've been waiting on you all day." And the opportunity was there. Grand opportunity. And she began to invite me to participate with her. And I won't go into any other details. But every step of the way, the Lord was saying, "No. Man, I mean, she looked like she ought to be in a magazine. Next step, no." But yet something inside of me, there was a battle. I was on a seesaw. Something said, "Whoa, buddy. Man, nobody'll know it. And nobody knows where you're at. Nobody'll see this." But something inside me said, "No." And I, all of a sudden in my mind, I started praying, "God, help me. Help me, God, help me." But yet my flesh was I was enjoying the entertainment. I was enjoying what I was seeing. I was enjoying what she was trying to get me to do. About that time, that pager, all of a sudden it went, beep. I took it out of my pocket and it's still going, beep. It had a slide switch on and off. I knocked it, turned it off. Beep. It wouldn't turn off. Beep. I got embarrassed. I thought, "Oh, no." I looked at her and I looked at it and I was nervous and I was scared. I grabbed my little cart and I ran down the hall. I hit the button to the elevator. When I got to the first floor, it quit. There was in the lobby. I grabbed my little cart. I went to the front desk and there's our front desk manager. I said, "Man, did you page me?" He said, "No. I didn't page you. In fact, we flipped the switch back on." And he said, "Well, let me try." And I told him what happened. I didn't tell him everything happened. I just told him it had malfunctioned. And he got it. And he dialed the number. And it went beep, 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 beep. And it vibrated. We tried the digital text and it worked. And we tried it again. You know what it was? The hand of the Almighty God. Even that worked. I'm thankful that just in time, just right before, Brother Will, that I was making that fatal plunge, all of a sudden the hand of grace got a hold of me. Amen. You know what I'm thankful for? That I have that kind of God. God did not insult me that day. God protected me. God was for me. Now, I shared this story with several different people through the years. And a pastor friend of mine looked at me and he said, "Brother Crosswhite, do you realize that you was right there in the arm of danger like Joseph was in the Old Testament?" Joseph was a servant in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife, oh, she loved Joseph. She probably had the, you know, "Oh, Joseph, oh, my man." And she made invitation for Joseph. But every time Joseph would, no, he would refuse her. But one day he was there and she got a hold of him. And she made her appeal to Joseph and got a hold of his garment. And when Joseph turned to flee from her, she yanked his garment off and she screamed out. And they come in thinking that Joseph had forced himself on her. And he was sent to prison. You know what this man of God said, "Brother Crosswhite, do you realize what God did for you that day? She could have accused you falsely and could have messed up your life, even to this day." You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord, the grace of God. Amen. Thank God for a good conscience. Where would I be had God not spoke to me that day? Where would I be if the reins of God wouldn't gently pull? And oh, friend, and through the years, I've learned when God gently pulls on the heart to say yes to God, to recognize that there's something important that God wants in my life. Stand with me. The value of a good conscience. Brother Coon, your both grandpas, both sides, were mighty men of God. And I've had the privilege of being around both of them. What made them great men of God, they were teachers. Both of them had an... Now, I'm going to tell you, your Grandpa Davis, I mean, man, he was a little short man, but he was a banded rooster when he got up to preach. I mean, he got with the program. And no nonsense, wasn't he? Grandpa Coon on the other side, what a beautiful teacher, principles. Both of these men, amen, stood for truth. And I've had the privilege to be around both of these men and to be a product of even your Grandpa Coon, even somewhat in my life, amen. And I still use his teaching, even at the jail. But you know what the privilege today, what good would all that teaching, all that instruction, all that information be if I don't apply it and don't appreciate it? What good is having the Bible? What good is having instructions and teachers if I don't heed the voice of the Word of God? I want something to help me tomorrow and the next day in my journey of life, that if I go the wrong direction, that God has the liberty to tell me no. But God has that gentle authority that He don't have to jerk the reins back and slam me back. God says, no. No. Amen. I want you to stick them up tonight. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Amen. Stick them up tonight high and say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you have permission anytime to speak to me. You have permission, Lord, to work. Come on, give God permission tonight openly. God, get a hold of me. Lord, you see my tomorrow. You see what's right around the corner. You know what I'm, God, every step that I make. God, you have all the permission, Lord, as my Savior, my Lord, and my Father, to work on me tonight. God, help me, Lord Jesus. Have the reins of my mind. Have the reins of my heart. God, give me good sense. Give me discernment. Give me judgment that I could follow you and walk with you, Lord. I praise you and I worship you tonight. You're great and you're mighty, God. Thank you tonight, God. Now instill that in our hearts, Lord.